Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I'm just going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Gatecast episode 74, Scorched Earth.
Good evening, everybody.
This would be series 3, episode 9, I think.
That's right, yep.
Sorry, some of these DVDs have 5 episodes, some have 4, so... And, of course, because it's a volume, it just says episode 1 of volume 3, rather than telling me exactly which. But luckily, and now I just see at the top of my transcripts tab, it has 4.09. I'm going blind. Clearly, as 40 approaches, everything's just falling apart.
No, tell me about it.
No, I don't think our listeners want to hear that. All right, and it's done what it seems to be doing now, which is pull up the first episode and have play ready to go. Bad line. Pause. Do I have enough characters to type that? Why does Twitter overload? Literally, it goes all grey.
Yeah, but awful problems with Twitter, don't you?
I think it's the new Twitter. I should go back to the old Twitter. Right, I've gone, welcome Gatecast fan, we're about to record episode 74, Scorched Earth. Tweet and have your comment read out live, bracket-ish, bracket. And this time I will actually click tweet, which I failed to do during the first failed recording of the previous episode.
Oh, right.
Which went as, sorry folks, forgot to tell you, and then it turned out it didn't record anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, so ignore this tweet. In fact, I didn't even have to tweet it, really.
Indeed.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Okay. Finger hovering over a space bar. 3, 2, 1. Clicky. Line finishes roaring. Fade in on, as the transcript said, a tent village with what appears to be a maypole.
Or something like it. And you look at the grass, it's not very worn or trodden, is it, for a settlement?
Hundreds of villages like this one have paused to celebrate the transportation of our people to this great new land.
No, almost it's looks not. Like a new field that they've just built everything in.
Yes, and we have a long, low... Is there a Japanese influence here?
In what regard?
In regards to the sitting down, low table approach.
Oh, I never actually connected the two.
What the hell is wrong with their eyes?
They have yellow eyes. They're not humans.
Yeah. Oh.
I meant what I said. You are all heroes to my people.
It's our pleasure.
When my grandchild arrives, it will be the first Enkaran to be born in our new homeland.
Props department must be making contact lenses for weeks.
Marilyn Norrie, who plays Hedrazar, when she was wearing a contact lenses, she was literally blind. She couldn't see a thing.
She does have... Is that wine or something? You know, that looks disturbingly like olive oil. I mean, it's probably pineapple juice, but it looks like olive oil.
Yeah, good coating to your throat.
Did Amanda get her hair trimmed, or is it just sort of stuffed under the hat?
I think this could be the result of, like I said last week, the complaints about her hair length.
You get the impression that's not wine, but a fairly powerful spirit, given the size of the glass that Jack's got in his hands. If that were beer, he'd just be tossing it back, but as it is, a tiny little glass, sip, sip, sip. And yet they've got what appears to be about 2 litres of it.
Come back in a year and you will find this planet transformed.
Help!
Why is it so cold? Because I could see one's breath, and like I know it's supposed to be a summary kind of...
Well, no, they did say, you know, that it's getting colder, so it actually helps in a bit of atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everything doesn't stay hunky-dory for long.
No.
It destroyed our whole village. You must all flee.
What are you talking about? Caleb, catch your breath.
It comes this way.
I presume we see the big alien ship before we fade out from the teaser.
You must see it.
So it'll be a dramatic ending. Now that is a good external gate. That actually looks like stone.
There.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa, dude.
And this is... I remember this episode reasonably well. This is pretty much an annual episode, I think.
What is it?
Good question, mate.
It's a fracking huge spaceship.
Yes. I mean, you haven't seen any science fiction movie? No, he probably hasn't come to think of it. And all this CGI effect done by Irish graphics ass.
Oh, yeah. Don Bluth's old place?
I don't know. Windmill Lane.
Oh, I know Windmill Lane. Been on it. It's where you two record a lot of the early albums.
Was it? Oh, right.
See, Irish handiness of having an Irish person on. So we have, oh my god, we've switched volumes and we've stopped alternating. This one's Martin Wood.
It's Martin Wood. Story written by the writing partnership of Joseph Malozzi and Paul Mully, responsible for 49 episodes of Stargate SG-1.
Because the previous 8 episodes have all been either Peter DeLuise. Oh, hang on, no, sorry. I stand corrected. We go back with Peter DeLuise, then we get someone new.
Oh.
In point of no return.
Right, Scorched Earth, 3rd, August 25th, 2000. It's the 9th episode of Season 4.
With some of the worst copy I've ever seen on the back of the box.
They don't pay much for that, do they?
Oh, God, it begs to be MST to free paid, honestly.
Not very detailed scans of the ship, is it? Just a kind of grey blob.
We estimate the ship to be about 2 miles in diameter. The curtain of energy it's using to sweep the landscape stretches for over 20 miles.
It's probably the best thing they could render at the time.
Well, that's it. That bit was rendered before the actual final cut actually came through, so they weren't sure what the ship would look like.
You know, they could have just composited a proper shot of the ship in there.
Well, that would cost a lot of money as opposed to just having...
A blob.
Yeah, a blob. That was done in real time.
And, you know, those photos don't even show the hands because that's probably some of the effects house just holding sheets up in front of a camera.
If there's any good news, it would appear that whoever's in control doesn't have the specific intention of attacking the Incarans.
Why do you say that?
It just seems to be a more direct approach.
Like stubble on the top of Don S. Davis's head there?
I don't know.
Oh, no, sorry, it's just shine.
Just shine.
The light is bouncing off his head and dazzling me.
But it'll take out the Stargate first.
Can we evacuate the Incarans in time?
Teal'c's prepping them right now.
The concern is where to send them.
Well, that's no good news, is it? It'll destroy the village, but even worse, it'll take out the Stargate, and we can't get home.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so we've got to leave before the Stargate gets destroyed.
The only other planet we know of with similar conditions is the original Incaran homeworld, and according to Incaran verbal history, there's no Stargate there.
Right, the Ghoul kidnapped their ancestors with ships.
Yes, we like these people, but not that much. We don't really have to go back.
Daniel probably does.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bleeding Heart Daniel.
The obligatory liberal reference.
Yeah, so annoying that they don't have a spaceship at this point of the series, isn't it?
They had one, they blew it up. The only spaceship they really ever... No, hang on. They had a cargo ship.
Yeah, but you can't...
Season finale, that.
Yeah, we don't know exactly how many people they transported over.
There are thousands of them outside Hidrazar's village, spread a fair distance from the gate. It took us 2 weeks to transplant them to P5S-381 in the first place.
The point is, General, we could never save them all.
Da-da-da. We can assume for villages there's probably a few thousand. So do you save a few or do you save none?
I gotta say, though, that ship didn't look 26 hours away at the speed it was gone.
Well, that's a problem, isn't it? How do you show something so big and get the scale right, if really it should be so far away, it'd be so small.
Ah, yes, a Father Dougal moment.
What's that?
Small, far away. Small, far away.
Sorry, never watched it, so...
You should.
Oh, yeah. Little fuzzy orange things.
They're microbes, sir. The alien ship is depositing them on the planet's surface. Now, as near as I can tell, they bond with sulfur leached out of the soil. And when they decay, they release sulfur dioxide.
Ooh, sulfur dioxide.
So the big, mean alien ship is trying to stink up the planet?
It's a little bit more than that, sir. The microbes are only deposited after all of the native organisms have been destroyed. I think they're meant to replace them. Now, if my theory is correct, we're looking at the first building blocks of an alien ecosystem.
So, basically, this is a terraformer.
Yes.
From
emphasis on the word terror.
Yeah. I say from a different perspective, you know.
So if the ship is allowed to continue the process, the whole planet will be remade?
Well, all I know for sure is that the atmosphere on the other side of that energy curtain will not support life as we know it.
Well, they don't seem overly concerned. It seems to be a Klingon approach to terraforming. You know, we really don't care about the indigenous population.
Well, if we went to a planet, you know, and we saw terraforming, we wouldn't give them monkeys either.
I'd like to think we would.
The general public probably wouldn't even know there was any life forms on the planet.
What's going on?
They do not wish to leave, O'Neill.
Yes, and by the time they find out, there wouldn't be any life forms on the planet.
Corporations would just, you know, there was nothing there. Yeah, there's a report, you see? Nothing. Ah, they had to go back because they left Tilk. They kept him as insurance. And I just cut there to a studio set.
Yes, because they're keeping the camera pointed very low. It feels, don't you get a sense of claustrophobia there? It feels like there's a very low ceiling.
Yes. If you recognise him, Elam. Anyway, he's played by Alessandro Giuliani, better known for Gator in Battlestar. Recently appeared in Smallville.
Not finished season 8. I don't think I'm even finished season 7, frankly. I kind of stopped watching it when I got Sky and a sudden smorgasbord of science fiction opened up to me again. I was like, yay!
Thanks to you, we have found it.
We must stay here and fight for it.
With what?
Have you not weapons to aid us?
Now these people have found a new home, then we're not going.
Did they move them here?
Yes, they'd been stolen from their homeworld by the Gwold. We assume by the Gwold anyway, and dumped on another planet.
Where they were dying, presumably.
Yeah, and so...
Not that the Gwold really cared.
Yeah, so us humans did the right thing, and look what happened.
So what, we moved them once, what's the issue with moving them again?
Probably because they had a year or so to do the job. And they, you know, had a planet where they could go, whereas at the moment now, the settlements are widely scattered across the planet, probably the continent. Can't get everybody to the Stargate, and, you know, the people don't want to leave.
Can't we move the Stargate?
Transmitter's now operational, sir. Let's hope we get a bite.
Think a well-placed stinger would do some damage?
No, we have no way of knowing what material the ship's made of, sir.
Or if it possesses shield technology.
Just fantasizing. Any intelligence capable of engineering something like that has to be capable of reason.
The question is, will they listen?
Well, the real question is, will they have ears?
Oh.
Oh.
Cool.
Interesting transporter technology?
Yeah, echoes of the gate, but no physical manifestation.
Well, no, more echoes of
the rings.
That. No, more, I think, echoes of that episode, the game, the way a man appeared and disappeared.
It appears to be a storage facility of some kind.
I'm going to assume we're on board that ship.
Nice looking spaceship. Nothing looks functional. That's the mark of high technology spaceship.
Yes, it's all thought controlled. I presume you have to don a special device when you're going to sleep. You know, those stray thoughts could lead to the spaceship doing some interesting things.
Not like the idea of the water run through it. I mean, Battlestar did something similar.
They were expecting us.
The enhanced blah thing.
Yeah, Daniel, don't touch the buttons.
Daniel, don't touch anything.
Carter.
Sir?
Should we really be opening drawers and things?
Did Jack actually tell him not to touch anything?
Yeah, shouldn't we be touching so Daniel touches it? Well, let's try it again. And not content with opening drawers, I'll start picking stuff out of the drawers.
Are you ahead of me?
No, I just know what they're going to do.
Sorry. Jack's not a biologist. I have to say, I'm impressed by the set design here. This looks expensive.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
I mean, they went to considerable effort to do this.
Of what?
I'm not sure.
The ship's terraforming the planet, right? What if these are the life forms it's creating the new environment for?
Recreating an entire civilization.
Amazing, considering that's a one-off.
You'll say they redressed the Asgard cargo area.
What? Plant, animal, insect, alien? Who knows?
It's still just a guess.
A good one.
Ooh.
Oh, he looks familiar.
Brian Markinson. He was in Caprica.
He was in what?
Caprica.
Oh, Caprica. I never saw the final 5 episode.
Also in the Shattered Canadian Cop show.
No, the only Shattered I know is a movie with, I think, Liam Neeson.
Yeah. Listen, what's going on around?
I've been assembled in order to more easily facilitate communication between this ship, as you call it, and yourselves.
A
Assembled, you say?
I'm a biomechanical representation of the beings now occupying this planet.
This is Lotan, a being created by the machine, by the ship, as a conduit to talk to the humans.
Yes. So what does he look like, one of the local aliens?
Because at the time, they're the predominant people around, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating design.
I suppose that explains why you look like an Incaran.
Sort of.
Shades of what's-his-face in Tin Man?
You are not.
No, we're from a planet called Earth. This is Major Samantha Carter. I'm Daniel Jackson. This is Jack O'Neill, and this is Teal'c.
Actually, we're friends of the people your ship seems bent on wiping out.
Yes, that is unfortunate.
So for all the intelligence the ship has, it doesn't realize what the Stargate does, or it recognized that these people were coming through.
Hmm.
The Incarans in the immediate vicinity seem to have disappeared.
Yeah, see, that's called running away. What one does to avoid being slaughtered.
There are still quite a few Incarans living on the planet.
Since you are friends of the Incarans, would you deliver the message to them?
That would depend.
When the transformation process was first begun, there were no sentient life forms present.
Yeah, well, there are now.
Yes. Unfortunately for your friends, once the process has begun, it must be completed.
Are you saying someone went to the trouble of making you just to come here to tell those folks tough luck? Get out?
We wish no harm to come to the Incarans.
No, they, like I say, it explains it. The process to create him started before SG-1 arrived. Leave or die.
So, stop transforming.
Jack, they're just trying to get the point across in the best way possible.
I know what the point is. He's a PR guy. I think we should be talking to your boss.
Assumption of hierarchical command structure. Interesting.
Bureaucracy at its best.
Follow me.
It's not going to be that simple, is it?
No, it's not.
I mean, Jack's pretty straightforward. Just stop.
And Lotan's reaction is class.
Yes.
There wasn't there an employed? How backward?
Yeah. There was a TNG episode with that line in, wasn't there?
I think so. Supposedly evolved species don't have hierarchical command structures. If any of our listeners have read Ian M. Banks' Take It More of a Culture approach, but I'm not even sure if Mike gets that reference.
No.
Any who've read the Ian M. Banks culture novels will.
Looks remarkably like a certain type of alien that's invading the Earth on the ABC show at the moment.
Not exactly E.T.
Huh?
A reptilian-type creature with a funny head and tail.
Oh, sorry, I haven't seen those shots or those episodes. I have to wait for it to appear on Sci-Fi UK.
Why?
Because I've got roughly 4 terabytes of stuff to look at. So I can wait.
Some things have to wait.
They were a very advanced race compared to the Incarans. However, they were also peaceful and fell victim to a superior military power. So they built this ship in the hopes that their world would be born again, far from the reach of their enemies.
So he's telling us about this alien species who felt it necessary to, you know, to pack up their world and look for a new home to preserve their race. You know, your initial thoughts that here were a bunch of bad guys out to destroy the planet pretty much turned through 180.
Well, yes and no, they're still destroying the planet.
Yeah, but they're destroying the planet for a legitimate reason and under certain circumstances that were valid at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the transformation has been started, it must be finished here. The entire Gadmir civilization will be lost forever. The Incarans must leave or they will die.
Fault is Earth's for putting these people here.
Right, now see, right there we got a problem.
Sure.
The Incarans cannot leave.
That's why in a modern Western world they put signs out the door that says, sold.
That is unfortunate.
Yes. You can still look if you think you want to, but...
That's it.
Please explain the situation to the Incarans.
Yep, bye-bye.
Wait.
Shades possibly of the Asgard transporter technology. You know, bright light, move. Not the vump effect.
I imagine, you know, you get the same problem to a dozen hyper-intelligent beings and they'll come up with pretty much the same solution, just with a few variations.
You give it to a dozen hyper-intelligent beings, they'll form a committee and argue about it and do nothing for 200 years.
Well... let's say a dozen independent races that have no contact with each other.
Sorry, this is what comes of nearly 20 years in the public and civil service. You know, intelligence is defined by the lowest IQ of the group divided by the number of members in the group. Trust me, I've been in the committee.
Nice long shot that was, coming up the stairs into the briefing room.
Mm.
Normally you don't see, you know, where they run to.
No, they're running. They need to keep running. Carter's definitely got a haircut.
Yeah, and this is where Daniel starts the other person's point of view. It really does annoy Jack when Daniel gets in this mood.
Yeah, especially because Jack knows that Daniel is usually right.
Yes.
That's probably what annoys Jack. Gosh, darn it, he's right. You look at the impression, the irascible southern accented outflow we saw back in... better memory for episode names than I do. Where Jack got old.
Oh, Brief Candle.
Yeah, you get the impression when RDA's in his 70s, he'll actually be like that.
Yes.
No, I wasn't saying that.
We're talking about a bunch of freeze-dried aliens whose civilization was lost a long time ago.
Kind of bones-type approach to things.
Yes.
Old bones, not new bones.
What about this robot? Could he be convinced to delay the transformation long enough for us to relocate the Incarnates?
Robots are robots, sir.
He's basically just a messenger, sir.
But he was created in the image of the Incarnate so that they could relate to him, understand his explanation for what was happening and why. Now, that could work to our advantage.
How?
Well, it might make him more sympathetic to their plight.
I mean, Daniel's right here. They're calling him a robot, but he's well more advanced than a simple robot.
Mm-hmm. It's an organic construct.
Yeah.
Sir.
But he was created in the image of the Incarnate so that they could relate to him, understand his explanation for what was happening and why. Now, that could work to our advantage.
How?
Well, it might make him more sympathetic to their plight.
And we can't.
What do you propose, Colonel?
I say we throw everything we've got at that ship.
I'm sorry, I can't authorize a military strike in this situation, Colonel.
I think Jack just seen ID4. Let's nuke it. Okay, it'll destroy most of the planet, but doesn't matter. We've got to win.
But we spent months getting to know these people.
Well done, Jack.
They trusted us, and we screwed up.
We did screw up big time. That's the problem, though. You know, they've invested a lot in this operation, as the General says.
Yeah.
But this is the first we've heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all been happening in the background. Translation, the writers handed the script in.
Yes.
Personnel. Find another way out of this.
Unfortunately, you can't retroactively put little bit snippets in earlier episodes.
Mm. No. That would be a Babylon 5 approach. Stargate, although there is the overarching arc to some extent, they couldn't have planned that far ahead. They didn't know they were going to get 10 years.
The alien ship draws closer.
Yeah, it's definitely closer now.
Yes.
It looks like it's moving, so it should be right on top of them yesterday. If you can tell it's moving from this distance, then it's moving fast.
It's semi-translucent, too.
Did General Hammond not authorize you to bring additional troops and weapons?
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No, we still have Captain Caterpillar. Oh, dear.
It's just us, Dilk. Have you got your staff weapon?
We got the really big chunky one we took off P3X395.
Yes.
This is the opportunity for a superfan who's listening to point out they've never actually gone to a planet with that name. I'm leaving myself open to correction there. I just pulled those figures off the top of my head, really.
There's probably a database of them somewhere.
There probably is, but I'm not that interested.
Don't worry about it too much. Thinking of a way to blow up the ship, I'm not really sure that's what General Hammond had in mind.
They're going to stand there. Die.
How fortunate. No, Jack's going to do something silly.
I'd like to see Daniel in wraparound shades, to be honest with you.
A typical military.
It is quite cold wherever they are.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose it is.
It's probably
Canada.
Late autumn, early spring in Vancouver.
Yeah, late autumn in Vancouver is, you know, early September, and early spring is kind of late June. Or am I exaggerating Canadian weather for effect?
Probably a bit.
Sir, the reactor was designed specifically to prevent exactly that kind of...
Carter?
Memory serves, Jack's going to fire something at the ship, isn't it?
Well, he's typical military. You invent a fantastic power source, and the first thing is, will it explode? How do we make it explode? Can it be made small enough to be put into a missile?
Be a big explosion, sir.
Big enough?
I think so.
Carter? I'm making a choice to help these people. But if you don't make that bomb, I'm out of options.
And you imagine an aquida-powered bomb would make a nuke look like a firecracker.
Yes. Jack got rather annoyed with Carter there, and he went from sort of, you see, the way they interact, you get the impression they're sort of equals, but when it comes down to it, he is her superior officer. Oh, yes. In the military if he gives her an order.
I mean, she doesn't like it, and let's face it, you're being ordered to create a weapon of mass destruction. You're going to focus a blast from a device like that?
How do you get her up there?
How controlled is this going to be?
I assume it's going to take out anything within a couple of miles.
This ridge should protect the village, but this is as close as I would put it. I modified this remote to start the feedback loop. About a minute after you press the button, the reactor should reach critical overload and blow.
So we'll leave before it blows up.
Yes, so that's a ridge. That ridge looks at least 3-4 kilometres away. Even at, they've got a boat.
Yes.
I was thinking, I was about to go into mechanics of a fast dog with a full pack and the whole, could you feel me deflating? I was like, I'm a math geek. I had all the figures ready to run through my head and average running speeds and minimum safe distance and so on.
This is an episode for people doing daft things. Jack trying to build a bomb, Daniel going to talk with the aliens.
Well, in fairness, Daniel negotiating and Jack building a bomb aren't daft. They're in character. With the situation reversed, where Daniel building a bomb and Jack trying to negotiate, that would be unusual.
General Jackson. You don't plan on staying?
No, actually, I'm going to go try to talk to Lotan.
If you warn Lotan of our plan, it will prove ineffectual.
I'm not going to give anything away. I just want to try to prevent it from being necessary.
Should you not remain until the return of Colonel O'Neill and Major Carter?
Well, actually, Jack asked me to give him another choice, so technically I'm following an order.
And how's he going to contact him? He's just stand there and shout?
Yeah, just wave. Hoo, cooey.
Cooey, cooey.
Low down.
Arg, crunch. You know, in fairness, it's not really very wide, is it?
Well, it's supposed to be 20 miles, but it's odd to show that on a TV screen.
Yes. Well, unless you got a really, really big TV screen. Yes, I was nearing a high score there. Oh, come on, it looks like a bloody video game.
Just a bit, doesn't it? I could say the ship beating up itself. Nope.
I remember the solution, and it's a bit of a cop-out, really.
Hello, Daniel Jackson.
Hi.
Are the Incarans going to leave the planet?
Actually, the Incarans have nowhere else to go.
That is tough luck.
Picking up idiom.
While you were gone, I took the opportunity to breathe some of the sulfur-based environment being created by the ship.
Realistically speaking, he should have said that was tough luck and orange beam of light and Daniel's back down again.
Yes. I think that's the point. You know, he's not just a source of information. He's actually expanding his own consciousness and, yeah, probably music you need to be raised to.
It's nice.
It sounds very unpleasant to me.
Really?
Yes. This is not how it should sound.
Or is that the latest Dizzy Rascal?
Possibly.
How so? It seems the design of your ears, my ears, is not meant for it.
I've often thought the same about popular music of the day.
I've often defined something me and the crew will disagree on. I've often defined dance music as noise with a backbeat.
Problem faced by the Incarans. I am not programmed to solve the problem faced by the Incarans. Right.
Come on, Daniel. I'm sure you've watched a bit of Star Trek. What would Kirk do?
Kirk probably wouldn't. More like, what would Captain Jack do?
Captain Jack, he'd probably kiss him.
Yeah, well, that was my point.
Seduce the robot. Because nobody can resist Captain Jack.
Were this an episode of Star Trek, the robot will be a sultry female which made 7 of 9 look like Emily Dickinson.
Wouldn't you like to experience a little more of what it's like to be an Incaran before you're reintegrated? You see some of the planet before it's completely transformed, and maybe even meet the people.
For what purpose?
Because it might help you consider alternate solutions.
Well, that's it, trying to get him to emphasize with the people.
Alternate solutions?
You said that the ship will continue the process without you, correct?
Yes. As I have said, its function is fully automated.
Well, there, then no harm done. We'll just We'll have a look around.
Engage logic argument.
Caught a quick mental flash of the Terminator logic tree thing there. Yeah. Remember, it gives the various selections.
Yeah. Kill, ignore, strip to take clothes.
Say F off.
Yes. Oh, how gallant, Jack. That's it.
Sir, no disrespect intended, but I'm having doubts as to whether or not we're doing the right thing.
What is that, Carter? The right thing. We brought these people here. They depend on us. What else are we going to do?
I don't know.
Do you want to talk me out of this?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
In fact, there was no reason to throw the rope over.
Does it actually have Zodiac 2 written on it?
It had something too.
The design is a Zodiac, as far as I know. Your basic light inflatable but with an outboard, range of around 100 k's or so.
So where's the ship then? Surely you can hear it.
Well, the ridge should protect this thing. It's behind.
Off to the left and somewhere behind that ridge.
The thing is, how much of the planet has already transformed, considering it's approaching the gate now?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's only 20 mile wide...
It probably literally only started the process a few weeks ago, on the other side of the planet. Hmm. There's only one ship doing it.
How many Akarans has it killed already?
Well, we know one village is vaporised. Mm-hmm. Because one guy got away and managed to run from that village to this village.
Run away! Yes, this is the...
These are trees.
Green things.
Yes. Anywhere there's oxygen, you're sure to find trees. They're kind of like nature's air filters.
The expression.
Trees.
Yes.
Yes.
Very good. Trees. Does he have a concept of green? Their sulfur-based life, green may not be a big feature.
No, it probably wouldn't be. In fact, all this is new to him. Mm-hmm. He's got the technical knowledge of his own people.
Were we 20 minutes into this episode, I'm sure we can manage to hook him up with someone. Might get a quick kiss in.
Did you try to stop
him? I do not disagree with his intentions.
You do know we're going to try and blow up that ship.
I am aware of that. As is Daniel Jackson.
Till, you're not supposed to look happy, especially when you're telling Jack that Daniel's gone walkabout.
I think Teok enjoys winding Jack up.
It could be, yes.
You know, we're now in smug Teok mode after the last episode.
Oh, he's still living off that, is he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, come on. That was definitely a Jedi moment.
Ooh,
with the
steady
fish,
Jack.
With the ghoul.
Yeah.
Leaping out of the water. And he didn't even look.
No.
He said he would not reveal our plan.
Sir, we only have 15 minutes.
Daniel, do you know what time it is?
I am trying to give you another choice.
What?
Hang on, we're on our way back to the village.
Over and out.
You have disobeyed your superior.
No, not exactly.
Tell me you're not on the ship. I'm not on the ship.
He's not.
I'm choosing the best way to fulfill my true function. See, sometimes hierarchical command structures don't allow you to consider all the possible options.
Yes, and Daniel being calm and...
Yeah, but you can sense the gritted teeth there.
Yeah, because you can't really say what he's thinking, because you don't want to give any information to Lotan that he give the game away.
But given the advance in civilization, they can probably, you know, quite cheerfully pick apart Daniel's brain anyway.
Daniel?
Lotan wanted to meet the Incarans.
10 minutes, sir.
Hello, Dr. Jackson. Hello, Ilium. This is Lotan.
You're given an order, you've got to follow it, but some orders allow you a bit of leeway. They're fortunate now that nobody didn't start throwing stones at him.
Yes.
Yes. These are the people you're going to kill.
Crush, destroy, kill. Crush, destroy, kill. I can't remember where that's from.
It sounds familiar.
It does. The advantages of being online during the podcast. I'm going to look it up.
This is a surprise. He thinks he's an Incaran.
Lotan, this is Ilium. This is his wife, Nika, and this is Hedrazar, the leader of the village.
Killer android IDAC Alpha 12 from Lost in Space.
Ah, yes.
Crush Destroy was literally the catchphrase and protocol of Epic Gilgamesh, the short-lived 1974 series based on the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Don't recall seeing that.
The new sci-fi movie with robots before 1970, sorry.
Nika there played by Nikki Smook, is actually the wife of Michael Greenberg, one of the producers.
They're pregnant.
She is actually pregnant.
The apparently pregnant one.
She is pregnant. That's one of the reasons she got the job.
Oh.
Yes, she was pregnant at the time. Oh, my wife's pregnant. Why don't you put her in the show? Great idea, Mr. Producer.
So, I mean, technically he's paying her.
I hope she got a salary.
That one is going to give birth.
Yes, to a new Incaran life.
There will be no Incaran life at all if your ship does not stop.
I think we're all aware of the situation.
Yes, you have brought me here to elicit sympathy for these people.
Well, actually, they're your people in a way, Lotan. You were created in their image.
I was not created to prevent their demise, Daniel Jackson.
But don't you wish you could?
Yes.
The ship calls me back.
Why?
I must go.
Oh, I do not like these ethical quandaries. Yeah, it's better to ignore a moral issue just by going.
Hmm.
Nice bit of camera work, that is.
Lotan just took Daniel back onto the ship.
What? Sir?
He asked to go.
Well, what are we going to do, sir? The ship is almost in position.
You know, as it panned up to bring the direct sunlight in, so he got better lens flare. Oh, nice. A little sun behind her head.
The ship has detected an unusual device. It appears to be capable of emitting great amounts of energy.
And again, nice bit of CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Is this device intended to try and stop the ship, as the Incaran named Ilium suggested?
Look, Lieutenant, I don't agree with what they're doing, but I also don't want to see you wipe out those people.
Reminds us of the same people who created the CGI for the Asgard, doesn't it?
Ah, but it wasn't. That was the interesting bit.
Different artwork studio?
The Windmill Lane did this as well.
Oh, of course.
This was their first SG
Well, maybe they episode. Decided to do it in the style.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they got... I'm sure that some of them were fans of the series.
Is Jack about to blow up?
Yes. Do I blow up? And how do I explain it to the general? Do it now.
Well, he doesn't have another scientist. You know, he killed What's-His-Face last episode.
Daniel Jackson has made his choice on
me. Have you got a coin, Teal? We'll just toss a coin and say, heads we kill Daniel, tails we don't. Product placement, that's on a Marantz universal remote control.
Hmm?
Yeah.
That
square box, clicky things. Well, that's it, he's made his decision. As with all explosives, there's a countdown. Exactly why you'd want one on. So many shows and films would be over so quick if there wasn't a countdown on an explosive device.
Lotan, if you wanted to, can you stop the ship?
As I have said...
Yes, I know what you said. It is not about what you want. Just please, just answer the question. Can you stop the ship?
It would be possible, yes.
Go on, Daniel.
Okay.
You're getting there.
And think about this.
Hmm.
Think about the people down there. And all the life that you will be destroying.
I am programmed to serve the life on this ship.
Pace, squeeze hands. Think, Daniel, think.
You say that they were an advanced civilization, 10,000 years of history.
Yes.
They had laws. Justice.
Yes.
A respect for life.
Yes.
Then how can their world be recreated through an act of mass murder?
Their life.
Wouldn't that be a betrayal of everything they stood for? You said you were made to communicate.
Good point, Daniel.
You're not here simply to serve life on this ship. You're here to protect the integrity of life on this ship. There's a big difference. Are you really fulfilling your true function by allowing this to happen?
Yes, we're running out of episode time. You better resolve this quickly. Otherwise, you're going to end up in a two-parter. Oh, dear. His face being cynical.
I mean, Daniel's finally made his point.
Mm-hmm.
The very people that created Lotan wouldn't want these people to die if there was an alternative. And by stopping the ship, it gives him that little bit of time to find an alternative.
So since you couldn't see with the contact lenses, is it decided to play it blind?
I don't know about that. As Sam says, once a timer started... it can't shut it off.
Daniel must have gotten through to him.
So now they're a couple of miles from a great big explosive.
Daniel, if you can hear me.
Yes.
You've got 30 seconds.
Yes. What should we do with it?
About that device.
It is still active.
Yes, can you do anything about that?
Kind of interesting.
That's one option which I might not have considered.
No!
That's one way to definitely destroy the ship if it went off, though.
Yes.
Any ship, force field.
Kind of, you know, time's a factor.
How much time do we have?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, it's a bit of squeezing of time there.
What is going on?
The ship remains.
Surprisingly small explosion.
A powerful explosive.
Well, may have shot several miles up.
Still a surprisingly small explosion. Goes on for a long time, though, I'll give it that.
Yes. Shouldn't we get sort of gentle pattering down with debris?
Yeah, it's something. That's where budget comes into play. Mm. They had so many shots of the ship in the background, they're going to have a little explosion.
Mm.
Can you imagine a control panel that had different beats for every key press?
Many millions of planets were scanned to match the right conditions for the transformation.
You'd never get anything done, you'd just be playing all the time.
Only one met the specifications.
Mm.
Oh, he's onto something.
Yes?
Just out of curiosity, were any other things close?
2,634 parameters had to be exactly right in order for the...
For the transformation process, yes, but what about for the Incarans?
I do not understand.
Well, maybe the Incarans don't need exactly the same environment as the transformation process, just a very similar one. Now, you know their physiology better than anyone. Do any of the planets scanned by the ship match the needs of the Incarans?
Some super intelligent robot you are, mate.
Then why didn't it reject... If it... Hang on. What? This I don't get.
What?
There is a world.
Yes.
And he's about to give the reasons why it was rejected. He said, yes. Having read the transcript.
It was inhabited. That's why.
So, if they rejected that world because it was inhabited, why the bloody hell didn't they reject this one?
Because when this world was surveyed, the people weren't on the planet.
I see.
Jackson.
Well, you would have gotten there eventually.
This planet was rejected by the ship because 3 of the parameters were not correct. The core temperature was too warm, the size was too large, and there were intelligent life forms already present.
Very Goldilocks, isn't it? This planet was too big, this planet was too small, this middle one just right.
Based on the description, I believe they were in Karen.
Hmm.
How convenient.
In Karen homeworld.
Yes.
Which appears to have a rather large blocky pixel over it.
Good news.
Good news, everyone.
Yes.
Maybe you could drop that in there, although it would be inappropriate to drop Futurama clip in.
Good news, everyone.
Jack's still mystified. Somebody tell me something.
Yeah, but let's face it, Jack's mystified most of the time. Jack's sort of eternally puzzled, you know. If he can't shoot it, shag it, or eat it, he's not sure what to do. Am I oversimplifying, Jack? And if we ever manage to get RDA in this podcast, am I going to seriously ask? It's not personal to RDA, it's purely about the way the character was written. He said, backpedaling furiously.
The ship has expended too many of the resources needed for the transformation process to begin again on another planet. I require that you give up this world.
How is that a compromise?
We found the original Incaran homeworld.
Yes. The Teal'c approach to revealing information.
Yeah, Jack should be used to it.
Yes. But do they want you?
What the hell? That just happened to the side of Teal'c's head there. He looked like his temples lifted about half an inch.
He's telling us this now.
Well, he didn't know. And technically he's just a day and a half old, so give him a break.
That's fortunate, isn't it? The alien ship can't terraform another planet, but it's got the energy reserves to actually, you know, go into hyperspace and go to another planet, drop a few thousand people off and come back again.
The Incaran homeworld has no Stargate.
Well, maybe the hyperspace thing can recharge itself and terraforming stuff cannot. It might be unique.
Well, the way it's been described, the ship literally has stores of materials it uses to terraform a planet.
Whereas they only need to terraform one planet, whereas their journey could have gone on for centuries. Therefore, they would have created a self-refilling hyperspace thing.
A bit like Destiny, perhaps.
Yes.
Does it have to happen? The part about you being reintegrated...
What other option is there?
But you are in Karen. You must stay with us.
Deus ex spaceship.
That is not contrary to my programming.
There's probably a few there. I don't want to go home. I like it here.
Well, I'll be in trouble.
Mm.
Lotan says thank you. He'd like that very much.
Spread the word among the villagers. We are going home.
Those are the terraforming bits, sort of.
Yes.
Closing up for Interstellar.
Nice little touch, though. They didn't have to do anything like that.
Yeah. And I appreciate the fact that as the ships, at least, were presumably relatively close to the thing, it did appear to be moving slowly.
Yes,
that's true. With something that size at any speed through an atmosphere from a stop, you're going to cause some serious friction and shit. So.
And that was Scorched Earth. I say it a lot, but it wasn't a bad episode at all.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I find that the bad episodes seem to take, it feels like, about an hour to actually comment on. Whereas the good episode, like, oh, is it over already? Yeah. I think I glanced at the time display twice, once as we were approaching 22 minutes and once when the credits came up. Actually, no, when we were discussing the bomb.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't an action-filled episode. A lot of talking, talking, talking. Some beautiful scenery. You know, the actual production of this episode is excellent.
It's a beautiful set design, I mean.
Yeah, the location and the studio stuff.
Most of the budget on the episode might have gone for that set.
A little bit of trivia. At one point, the set was invaded by a bear. Yes, and Christopher Judge freaked. They'd say Christopher Judge is particularly scared of bears. I'm personally scared of bears. I'd imagine there weren't many people on set who weren't scared of bears.
Scared of bears is a sensible approach.
It isn't it?
Not like that lunatic. And if you include this in the show notes, the guy who made the anti-bear suit, there's actually...
Oh, yeah.
Him getting hit by trucks and everything. It's serious, serious looper.
Another show that had a bloke in an anti-bear suit.
Well, this weren't a show. This were a documentary.
No, this was an actual show I watched probably last week. They were out in the woods and one of them had it all... Oh, it was Top Gear. The American Top Gear.
Oh, I've not seen it. I don't really want to see it. I can just about put up with Clarkson.
Not a bad version of the show.
Yeah, version.
Well, it's basically they all do the same thing, don't they? But different cause.
I know they met the German Top Gear people.
Yeah.
I have tweeted to indicate the finish.
Right, good, right. So that was Scorched Earth. Next week, Beneath the Surface.
Here comes the copy, folks. You might want to skip this bit. With their memories erased and their identities changed, SG-1 find themselves trapped below a dumb city on a planet of ice, toiling as slave labourers. Can they come to their senses and make a break for the surface, or will they remain enslaved underground for the rest of their lives?
On the next Stargate SG-1.
Is there a problem here?
Stay out of this.
Why would O'Neill turn against his own team?
This is not right! The two of you have friends on here!
Stay out of there!
Because someone's erased their memories.
It's my honor to serve.
Transform them into slave laborers.
This whole section's gonna blow!
And are keeping them hostage beneath an icy planet.
They're not out there, sir.
Now, the more they remember...
I had this dream. You were in it.
Me?
The closer they get to the truth.
I can see how you wouldn't want outsiders to know about the slave labor force you keep underground.
But will someone wipe them out forever?
You're no longer of any use to me.
Richard Dean Anderson stars on the next Stargate SG-1.
Well, in fairness...
Yes. Is there any
surprise? It's not a high likelihood. Yeah, otherwise the series would end there.
Yeah, always has been and always will be a problem with this sort of show. And not just this sort of show. Any show that have two or three stars that are critical to the series. There's only so much jeopardy you can put them in, realistically.
Unless you're willing to do a Tasha Yar.
Yeah, but that changing the cast that early on, you can just about get away with that.
That was the end of season one.
Well, no. Did you really like the character? Did you weep for her death? At the tar monster.
I thought the tar monster was awful.
It was a bad way to die for a character.
It was, oh my god, I've been killed by a trope. Well, since Trek created a lot of the tropes anyway, including the goatee beards are evil.
If nothing else, Star Trek should be forever honoured for that setup.
The goatee beards are evil?
Yes.
Or are they beards. Brothers?
Well, anything. If you're going to fight an alien, make sure you rip your shirt halfway through. Here's manly.
If it's a female alien, make sure you kiss it. Your only pair is manly if you haven't had your fucking chest waxed.
Right then, is that it?
Thank you for downloading and listening. Feel free, as always, to give us feedback. Details on that should be coming up round about now.
Hi, folks, and thanks for listening, downloading, etc., etc., etc. If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, you got it through an online subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us. We're The Gatecast on Twitter as well. Hope to hear from you next week. Bye.
We'll see you next week. I've been Alan.
And I've been Mike. See you, folks.
Bye.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike. Technical support from Scott. Visit Gatecast at gatecast.co.cc.